and said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. You know, with the fall, you'll never lose your eternal life." You can't lose your eternal life. You might lose the present enjoyment of it. That's what Satan wants to expel us from, the enjoyment of that life which he's brought us into. He wants us not to enjoy it at all. He doesn't want us to enjoy Christ. He hates Christ. But he can't take our life from us, as it were. And I remember in John 7, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." John 10, "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Right, in John 10 as well, we read of his sheep. "My sheep hear my voice. I know my sheep. Other sheep I have." And he says to Peter at the end, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." Well, I'm one of his sheep. Now I know that I'm his. That's wonderful. I'm his, and he'll never leave me astray, because I'm his. "Thou art mine." You could say to Israel of old, but I like to take that up and apply it to me, right? Because all these things are written for examples. "Thou art mine." The Lord knows them that are his. We might see things going on and different ones departing and whatnot, but the Lord knows them that are his. None will get out of the shepherd's eye. But our good shepherd, our great shepherd, what does he do? As seen in Paul, "When he had therefore was come up again," so he took him back to that place where he had left and had broken bread and eaten. Now he's feeding on good stuff. He's feeding on the word of God, on the true bread which came down from heaven. He has Christ before his soul and had talked a long while. Well, talking means fellowship. And what does he want to restore us to? Well, one thing he restored to here, when he was brought back up, to the apostles' doctrine. He had fellowship with the apostles. But what does John tell us about the apostles? "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son." Do we know something of what that is? It's not a question of, "I think I do. I think I've enjoyed it once or twice." Do we know what it is every day to have communion with him and to sit in his presence, to sit at his feet and to hear his word? It is blessed. And he wants to take us back to that place if we've left. And we all leave. And he lets us fail to expose to us our condition, not to beat us down, not to leave us there, but to bring us back unto himself. Right? We had that with Jehoshaphat. He's ready to restore. He wants to bring us to himself and enjoy fellowship and communion with him. But where will the apostles take us if we read the word of God? And if we have fellowship with the Father and the Son, where's it going to take us to? Even till the break of day, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You know, that would have been what would have prevented Eutychus from falling before. Remember? 10 virgins. Matthew 25. 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. Well, did half of them go to sleep and the ones that were faithful stayed up? No. They all slumbered and slept. I'm part of all. I have to apply that to myself. They all slumbered and slept. But the cry went forth, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." What a cry. Remember the apostle says in Romans, maybe it's chapter 13. He says, we'll read it in Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 11. It's what Eutychus, it's the word Eutychus needed before, but what he was restored to afterwards. And that knowing the time, note that, knowing the time, do we know how close we are to the Lord coming for us? Knowing the time, it's just not something we say. It's not just a truth we hold dear. It's a reality. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Eutychus, he heard these things, as it were. He heard these things, he was exposed to a lot of light, but they never really entered into his soul in divine reality. And they never worked on him as it should. But it says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time, or Darby, already time, to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Why is our salvation nearer than when we believed? Well, it's the Lord himself. He's nearer than when we believed the first time. And he's coming. He's coming for us. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. I was enjoying a portion in Psalm 23. We know these verses. We could probably quote it. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside the still waters." What comes next? "He restoreth my soul." Now, you know, I often thought, well, he leads me in green pastures to feed on and eat. Well, it doesn't say that in Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The sheep is satisfied with the shepherd and now finds itself lying down in green pastures, already satisfied with the shepherd himself, with, as it were, the person of Christ. The sheep is satisfied with the person of Christ and can lie down and rest and be at peace and enjoyment. But you know, it's even contemplated in that psalm, "He restoreth my soul." What does he restore us to? Verses 1 and 2. Where Christ is everything, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Where Christ is the blessed object set before the soul, and where nothing can come in and hinder, and nothing, where nothing takes the eye off of him. A word for the unsaved. We're talking about the dealings of God with his own. But it says in Peter, "If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? I will require it of him." But how good to know, as those that are saved, he's borne the wrath already for us. And if we get away, if we despise prophesying, as it were, and not heed the word of God, he'll bring us to a place where he brings us back to himself. And it's blessed to know, as Jude said in his epistle, the preventative measure, how we're only found safe in him. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Amen.